Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to Vikings Territory Breakdown. I'm your genial host, Joe Overly, with VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com, joined each week by estimable co-host Mark Craig from the Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Mark, we've launched into another week of free agency here, and the Vikings continue to make moves. I mean, just moments before I got on here, they made the very consequential move of, let's see what it is here. Oh, I can't find it. They cut some guy, some wide receiver, Hennigan or somebody, and signed Bullard they signed him to the defensive line. So that defensive line is all set up, right? You know, breaking news right here.
Yeah, there's such a blockbuster that you had no idea what just happened.
Exactly.
Jonathan Bullard. I mean, yeah, you continue to look at this defensive line, and it's like, you know, this is a time of year, especially when you're cash strapped like they are, the cap strapped. You know, you're just trying to plug holes so that when you do get into the draft, you can do one of two things. A, draft strictly for need, or B, when you're kind of at the end of a quarterback era, probably, you reach for that quarterback so you have as many holes plugged as possible. And that's kind of what we're seeing now with Lowry being signed and now Bullard being brought back and some positions being plugged so that they can go into the draft with a little different, you know, sense.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. I saw this morning also a list of all 32 teams and where they are with the cap, and the Vikings have the biggest cap number right now. They're right up against it and struggling like crazy to bring it down. And I saw it from one of our Vikings Territory writers, Sean Borman, who does a great job for Vikings Territory. He listed a few ways the Vikings can save $5 million plus in the cap. They could save $12 million if they traded Za'Darius Smith. They could save $10 million if they restructure Brian O'Neill. They could save $9 million if they cut Dalvin Cook by June 1st. They could save almost $8 million if they traded Dalvin Cook. They could save $7 million if Za'Darius Smith was cut, and $6.6 million if they extend T.J. Hockenson, which may be something that happens, and $5.89 million if Dalvin Cook was cut. So there's all those ways they can keep doing this thing, and some of those might still happen. Before we get into what they actually did, what do you think there? You think any of those things are going to come down the Vikings' pike?
Well, certainly, you know, they brought Davenport in. They got Davenport, they got Danielle Hunter, and they got Za'Darius Smith. That's, you know, three guys for two spots, starting spots.
And Bullard.
You know, Za'Darius, Bullard's, you know, they did up front, defensive end. So you got the three edge rushers, I guess. Yeah, I mean, Za'Darius Smith and Cook are the moves that are, you know, the obvious ones that, I mean, Madison comes back, you know, even without Madison, I thought, heck, you got some other running backs you could turn to, but Madison's back at an affordable price. You know, Cook has that, he's coming off the shoulder surgery. So there could be some reasons why he's not being moved, or, you know, the thing is right now, who's going to trade for guys that, you know, that the Vikings are clearly, you know, the two that Za'Darius Smith is a huge savings when you get rid of him. Mm-hmm. I personally think it's time for them to move on from him, but, you know, you could say, hey, yeah, trade Za'Darius Smith and you save, you know, $50 million. Well, you got it. Who's going to trade for him and to take him at that price? So especially whenever they know he's probably going to get cut, or he, you know, likely to be cut, or Cook, you know, who's going to take on that running back, you know, the running back, people just don't pay that much for running backs. So there are, it's like they're up against the cap, and there's moves that can and will be made. That's, you know, they're not like in this, oh my God, or what are we going to do? There's moves that can be made. Now they're exploring trades and stuff like that.
That's really true, Mark. You know, I mean, that's what we think when we're sitting out here, us, you know, people like me who are, can't figure out the cap is like the Matrix. I can't figure it out. Thank God we have the one in a, Rob Brzezinski. That's a Matrix allusion, the movie. I don't know if you saw it and you know who the one is, but anyway, I hope I got that right. Anyway, but you know, they do have things they do. I just saw today that they added two void years to Brian Murphy's contract, and they added a couple more to Dean Lowry's contract, which is, you know, it's amazing. What they can do is they can spread out their either their bonuses or signing bonus or something down the road. But as soon as the, and then void them at the end. And then as soon as those, if they were to let go on those void years and all that stuff they've kicked down the road, it's due right at that moment. So that's what's going to happen.
Well, you can celebrate those and do backflips on all that stuff. But at some point, you know, if you keep doing that, it comes due. Like right now you're seeing Adam Thielen is costing the Vikings
right
$13 million and on the cap. That's, it comes from all these renegotiations, all these things that they do. And now he's playing for the Panthers and they're paying, he counts $3 million against their cap. So, and the Vikings need a receiver. So these things happen. The biggest one to happen that with the void years was Kirk Cousins adding the 2 years, and that bought him $16 million of cap space. That's the reason Cook's still on the roster. That's the reason Zadarius is still on the roster. So, but they haven't, at some point, Kirk, I mean, it's not going to be a clean break where Kirk plays up to the very end of his contract and there's no dead money, but I think they're trying to soften whatever dead money is eventually going to happen with Kirk. And he may still renegotiate and do an extension. But right now they've just done the void years to try and possibly move on, transition. So if they do take a quarterback in the first round, I wouldn't be surprised based on some things they're doing and the fact that it's time. It's time for this team to allow realize, you know, what it was like to be, you know, plugging a quarterback in, different quarterback every year. And you got Kirk, wasn't the greatest in the world, wasn't the worst in the world. He was a good quarterback, but you had him every week for 5-6 years. So that's what they're trying. You got to make that transition. Otherwise, you're doomed in this league.
Yeah, well, what are you going to get at 25? They're going to have to trade up to get a decent quarterback, or I suppose they're going to have to settle for whatever's available at 25, perhaps.
Well, yeah, you're certainly not going to get the Bryce Youngs and the C.J. Strouds, but Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com, you know, he threw out the Tennessee quarterback, which, you know, kind of makes sense to me because he's not going to be one of those top 10 guys.
Ryan Tannehill? Just kidding. Go ahead.
It's his name's Peyton Manning. Played what's his name? Herndon. Herndon Hooker. Now that would be a good name for Vikings fans. You know, Herndon Hooker, the Hooker era. And he's a guy that's obviously
votes with Herndon in the
yeah. So he's a guy that's not going to be a starter right away. If you watch him play, he's an incredibly talented guy. Going to take him a year or two at least. And now you have your quarterback / offensive play caller, wizard, genius, former quarterback who's of the modern coaching era. So you got him to bring this guy along. So to me, it feels like the time to pick a quarterback and groom him and move on.
But you can only do that if it's a quarterback that you really feel confident.
Well, of course. Yeah.
I mean, I think as a Vikings fan, we'd sit here in forever and just – you know, see them trade for a veteran and then kick the can down the road on developing a young quarterback or getting somebody good. I mean, it gets so frustrating to watch every other team out there pick a Joe Burrows or pick a Jalen Hurts or somebody that, you know, is really one of those good quarterbacks and can change your franchise, and rather than just hoping, you know, you get a project and hope you can develop them. Now, they have the people in place to develop a quarterback, but man, oh man, I with so many needs, I just don't know that this is the year that you can take that risk. I think, you know, you almost got to trade down and get a later round quarterback and then still fill some holes in there, you know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it all depends. I mean, you're drafting the player, not just the two letters in front of his name. It, you know, just to draft a quarterback, to just draft one is probably what happened when they took Christian Ponder.
Right.
It was a fact where it was a strike year. They didn't have a quarterback. They just said quarterback. And then, Christian was a 12th overall pick. Third rounder. Still kind of a where they were in their franchise. You know, Zimmer obviously didn't like it where they were and they had to win and needed help right now. But this just feels like it is time I would not say I would not be surprised if they if this is the year they take a quarterback and a guy like the kid from Tennessee is got to has that you know really talented dual threat type you know big arm but a developmental guy a little bit you know, when you're talking about first round picks. So you know that you know I saw that and it's like you're going to see a lot of different things. You know we you know it's going to run the gamut of cornerbacks and you know we'll probably see a lot of receivers now. But you know, someone to throw out quarterback, it's you sort of look at it and it's like, yeah, I can see that for sure.
Do you take any signals from the fact that from them restructuring to save $16 million on Kirk Cousins cap number that and not extending him yet, at least not yet, that they really are looking in that direction? Does that say that to you or is that just happening?
Well, yeah, I think you know, and again they could he could end up, you know, the fact that that wasn't an extension, sure. And the fact that when Kwesi was at the combine, he was saying all the nice, right things about, you know, he's kind of learning his lessons on what to say. Kirk's, we can win with Kirk. And we kind of laughed about it. It wasn't like a glowing, you know, compliments, but it was a complimentary conversation. But he also said he was brutally honest when it came down to, you know, what's it take with Kirk? What do you want to do? And he basically said, you know, Kirk wants stability and we want flexibility. So it's like, you know, that's honest. You know, Kirk's not going to play forever. And, you know, you just don't want to get to the end of that and just be like, oh, what do we do now? You know, and when you said earlier that every other team does it, I mean, you look around the league and it's not every other team.
Yeah,
I mean, there's half of this league is scrambling and perennially. Just every year desperate, you know, that's why you see a Cleveland, you know, which my fear is that that Deshaun Watson is going to be trade or that whole situation is going to be looked at as like one of the most monumental like reaches and like, oh my gosh, what do we do? And just throw $250 million guaranteed to the guy. I hope it works out, but it just has that feeling to me like, you know, the Clevelander in me is just saying that's going to be one of those that they will remember 50 years from now. Oh, stop, don't do that, you know.
Yeah, well, since we're talking about quarterback, I got to bring this up before we go in further on to some of the other guys they did get was, you know, the rumors were whipping around the internet and Twitter sphere about Lamar Jackson coming here. Jeremy Fowler from CBS Sports, someone that we used to know, he was in the Vikings locker room with us for a long time, said that the Vikings are – Tennessee is a landing spot for him, and the Vikings are a wild card landing spot for him. And I kind of chuckled with that, thinking, you know, what the moves that they made with Kirk and what that would mean. What they would have to get rid of half of their roster all of a sudden to sign someone who's out there trying to get the biggest contract for himself that he can. So any thoughts on that little note of the
end? Yeah, I mean, the wildest of wild cards, I suppose. I mean, not only are they where they are right now cap wise, but they also have the best receiver in the league at a time when he's due for a contract, at a time when receivers are making more than they've ever made, and he's going to set, you know, as much as like the Stephon Diggs's and Tyreek Hill's and all those guys made last year or whatever. You know, Jefferson's going to set the bar a little higher for receivers. So that's coming down the pike as well. I would imagine that's, you know, that gets done.
We haven't even heard of that. And that's not really going to help them anyway cap-wise because he's going to get a raise. And no matter – he was on a rookie contract, or he still is. And for him to get extended, it's going to be big dollars. And they're going to have to do magic matrix numbers with that one.
Yeah, but whenever you're doing all these deals, as they, you know, continually try to tell us, you know, you know, the lunkheads in the media, we're just like so focused on, well, what's your cap this minute? You know, hit refresh. You know, these guys are looking at, you know, the smart ones like the Brzezinski's or whatever are looking at how does this affect our cap not only this year but in 2026. Sometimes it doesn't always look that way because, you know, guys that are like, say you're at the end of a regime like with Spielman and they were making some moves. Or they got fed up, you know, not having a quarterback. So they went and they did that Kirk Cousins deal, which at the time had never been done, you know, guaranteeing a guy 3 years and giving him his highest big quarterback, at, you know, for like 2 minutes probably. But, you know, ultimately they're all trying to look at not only the cap this year, but, you know, 3 years down the road.
Yeah, and that's got to be a difficult thing to do. So can I put you down as poo-pooing the Lamar Jackson to Minnesota?
Yeah, I'll officially, you know, no offense to Jeremy, but I'll be firmly in the poo-poo pile on that one.
I'm not touching that line. Mark's firmly in the poo-poo.
So when it happens on Thursday, just play it over and over and over.
We've got our first soundbite, Mike, you know, that we can keep playing. Mark's.
Mark is in the poo-poo pile. There,
yes, yes. That will have to come back. All right, speaking of that, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about some of the moves the Vikings did make first week of free agency and where they're headed next. There's plenty going on, a lot of names and numbers exchanging places, and we're here to break them down for you. So come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. All right, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune, the man atop the poo-poo pile on Lamar Jackson coming here. I aspire to be in the poo-poo pile with Mark, but we won't go any further than that. But I laughed when I saw that coming, so I don't think it's going to happen. But, hey, it's fun to talk about. It's always fun when they mention the Vikings. You know, speaking of the Vikings, I saw on this morning I saw a chart from gambling.com who looked at different people's respondents to Facebook and Twitter and all these different places. And it compiled the angriest fan bases in the league based on their number of negative comments to all these different places. Guess who's number one?
That pile I will not poo-poo. I would say that I would, you know, I've only been in two markets in my life. But, you know, Browns fans were, you know, angry at one point, but then I haven't been there in 20 some years. So it's, I think they're just kind of like in the, we've been beat to death pile. But yeah, Vikings fans are, the beauty about Vikings fans is they're, it's such a competitive, strong franchise, but it's never made it over the hump. And so that keeps people engaged, but angry as all hell, because there is at least so far, there's always that banana peel at the end of your, when you guys are skipping along and you're holding hands and you're hugging, there's always that banana peel that happens right at the end. Well, so yeah, I would say that, but that, you know, to me, if you're the Vikings or you're, that's a good thing. It's a good thing because you want anger instead of like
you want engagement for sure, and whether it's anger or love. And boy, you just described with the banana peel the 2022 Vikings just skipping along at 13-4 and suddenly zoop, in the playoffs. So that's it's still a frustration for me. One time I'd love for the in the last several decades I can remember only one. You know, I remember a top seven pick when they traded Randy Moss and got to Troy Williamson, seventh pick. But they had the third overall pick when they got they traded down with, I think, Cleveland and got I can't remember who, but they got the fourth pick and they picked up the lineman
who had Matt Khalil.
That in the last 20 to 30 years, that's as good as it gets for the Vikings in the top 10, just about. I mean, there isn't much more than that where you could actually even look at it. At a blue chip quarterback or something else. Instead, you know, they're mid-teens to mid-20s. You know, and they've always got you there winning games, which you want them to do during season, but they're, gosh, so rarely have they had such a bad season that they can get in the top five for a really blue chip pick, you know.
Instead of Troy Williamson, you could have had a guy named Aaron Rodgers.
They had two cracks at him. They had two cracks at him.
Well, but yeah, but it's that would have been a good move. It would have been a historically four of shadow. But at that point, Dante Culpepper was coming off his best year. He's still young. Had Dante not blown out his knee like six games after that that draft, then suddenly it became a need for a quarterback. But
Think about this franchise with Aaron Rodgers all these years. Oh my God, where would we be now? Oh my, we'd be talking about ayahuasca and drama and diva and what have you with that dude.
You'd have a trophy in your case, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but yeah.
Maybe, who knows?
Just one. You know, that's all you get.
Yeah, just one. Yeah. It's like if you win the Powerball, Joe, you got to pay taxes on the Powerball. You know,
that's right.
If they give you $100 million, what's taxes on $100 million?
I mean, that's just that's that negative Vikings fan base looking for the negative, right? You know, Powerball. Oh, shit, I got to pay taxes. You know,
yeah.
So. Anyway, let's talk some positivity. Who the Vikings did pick up, and the number one guy I think they got was cornerback Brian Murphy from the Arizona Cardinals. Kind of. I think he was a protege of Patrick Peterson, who kind of mentored him in out there. And now he followed Patrick Peterson to Minnesota, and Patrick Peterson ran off to Pittsburgh. So I think this is a good pick. You know, like you noted some notes to me, I mean, he's coming off a back surgery or injury. So what are your thoughts on him, Mark?
I think in free agency, if you're going to get a guy that's his age, 25, 26 years old, typically it's going to have to, you know, they're not available if they're completely healthy and they're coming off an all pro year. So there is some guesswork and some projecting and some praying, I guess, where he was, you know, because 2 years ago he was at a fine year. Last year he had a back injury, which he just rehabbed. He didn't have to have surgery. So he, you know, he's young. He's an ascending player. And two things about him that probably you can't say about Peterson at this stage in his career is that he could play inside and outside. And he's probably more suited to playing more man coverage than Peterson probably would have been asked to play had he stayed in this new defense. So, you know, where they might have at one point wanted to have Peterson back, I think, you know, they kind of looked and thought, you know, certainly not going to overpay him. I think the Steelers paid him very well. So, yeah, this is a guy that I think is a good move. But, again, there's risk involved with when someone's coming back from injury.
I think I called him Brian Murphy, and I should call him Byron Murphy.
He prefers Byron.
Yeah. Not to confuse him with Brian Murphy, who's a former colleague of ours who is out there in the Twitter sphere as well and doing a fine job. I just like to follow him. I think it's a good deal to get this guy in there. Hopefully, you know, injury wise, he's going to be fine. It's a huge hole they need with Peterson leaving. You got the two cornerbacks coming off of injury, or the two other people in the secondary, Lewis Cine and Andrew Booth. And then you got the other cornerback who's also got injury issues with his concussions, Caleb Evans. So the all injured secondary out there, but they needed some depth. They needed something in there. And I think this is a good
pick. And Sullivan's leaving, or it's not going to be brought back. So yeah, you got to have some bodies there. You got to start putting that.
You figure Flores pushed for him, his kind of guy to work in his defense. You think so? On that,
probably. Well, yeah. I mean, all defensive moves that are being made now are not going to come without the check mark of Flores, who was handpicked by O'Connell.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and a guy that they also picked up and just finished this morning signing his deal is defensive end Dean Lowry, formerly of the Packers, fulfilling that yearly former Packer signing quotient for the Vikings. We can't go into the season without signing a former Packer. So. He fulfills that, but what does he do for you, Mark?
He's an overachiever, that's for sure. He's he came out of Northwestern, and I think the feeling was, he'll be a nice, you know, complimentary player, kind of a, you know, just fill in backup guy. But he started like 80 games out of 100 or whatever that he's played. He's not going to wow you. He's not, I don't think there's a whole lot, probably not a whole lot of highlight film of this guy, but he's dependable. He's still young enough. And again, when you're looking at where they are financially, you got to start putting together a shell, covering your bases so that when you go into the draft, you can take the best players available, or like we said, look for a quarterback. So, you know, it's one of those where I think it's a good move. I look at that defensive line and I'm just like, there's nothing that, it doesn't really excite you. You know, and you lose Tomlinson, which I certainly wouldn't have overpaid him, I think, the way Cleveland did. But, you know, Tonga's your nose tackle. Harrison Phillips is a starter, and now Lowry's a starter, and there isn't much behind him. Boy, that's a position on this team I think is underrated as a concern. It's like that was my concern, like going into the draft last year. And I was just like, but you know, they can only do so much, I guess.
Do you think? I mean, you talked about this in the first segment. We talked about Za'Darius Smith and the struggles they're having there. He sold his house, stripped Minnesota Vikings off his social media, and says, "I want to trade," and so he can go out and get some more money. And he limped out to the finish line last year. He's got a big cap hit. He wants more money. So the conventional wisdom says the Vikings would move on from him somewhere, somehow. But like you said, the rest of people are not going to give you a boatload of stuff for him because they know you might have to cut him anyway. So do you think there's any possibility that they keep maneuvering so that they can keep him? And if they keep him, they have him and Danielle Hunter as edge rushers, and the edge rusher they signed last week, I can't even think of his name again, from the Saints.
Marcus Davenport.
The guy. Do you think it's possible at all, or just wishful thinking on my part?
Well, no, I think it's definitely possible because, you know, on the Friday of last week, he had like $5 million guaranteed that, you know, if he was going to get cut, you know, logic would say, you know, that he'd be, if I'm the owner, I don't care how much money I have. You know, if you can cut him on Thursday and save $5 million or cut him on the following Thursday, you know, that, yeah. So I think they are trying, maybe there is a, and, you know, going back to what I was saying about, well, a team that might not, you know, they think he's going to get cut. So maybe that's less likely that he's going to be cut because mm-hmm. he reached that point in his contract where he got some guaranteed money. So yeah, I would think, you know, if they're under the cap now and you're putting things together and yeah, I mean, he's still a good player. He's probably making too much money. He's too much of a cap hit, but he's on your roster. You've guaranteed that extra money to him. So yeah, I think it's possible that he stays on the team.
Wouldn't he want to play for Flores in this offense? I mean, you sent me this note saying that he had, if he stays, and he and Lowry have played in the same defense together under Mike Smith and Mike Patton. Isn't that exciting to, I mean, wouldn't he want flourish in a Brian Flores defense where they're constantly going after the quarterback?
Well, I would think so. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to kind of look past what, you know, yeah, he put his house up for sale. He's up disgruntled on Twitter and whatever, all these little things that they do. I mean, when he loved the Packers until he came here and then he hated the Packers. Yeah. Now he's looking at the possibility of getting cut. I was looking at the possibility of getting cut. It's negotiations. It's guys being just emotional. And so, yeah, if he ends up here, I think he'll enjoy this defense. And, but with him, the key is just keeping all the body parts working. Cause whenever he was going, everything was working. He was as good a defensive player, you know, up among one of the best edge rushers in the league. And then he just went off the table cause he started getting hurt.
Yeah, maybe with the edge rusher they brought in, and they got three of them, they can get a nice rotation going there and give him some rest during the season. And I don't know. I would love to see it. I'd love to go back to the days when you've got Vikings players just constantly harassing quarterbacks. That was the biggest deal. I mean, they made quarterbacks like Daniel Jones and Jared Goff able to sit back there and just sit in the pocket and just riddle the defense with no problem, because they would never, I don't even think they ever felt threatened to be hurried or rushed. So I would love to change that up and see that
happen. Yeah, and there's, you know, even though there's three of them, you know, there's two starting spots, but you know, a lot of times we saw last year where Za'Darius was rushing inside and you had Daniil and another, you know, like Pat Jones or those guys on another guy rushing. So, you know, you can use them. It's you can get it. If you get an extra edge rusher and you can get it under the cap, and yeah, it's a good thing to have.
Yeah. Another thing that happened, you know, salary cap maneuvering is the restructuring of Harry the Hitman Harrison Smith. Big deal. I mean, with losing Kendricks, losing Thielen, you know, here was another longtime favorite player of Vikings fans, Harrison Smith, who's just been solid since he's been here for so many years. And I think everybody was concerned and worried about losing him, but he restructured his deal and he took a pay cut for incentives, apparently. And as you said, show he's a team guy and maybe knowing his limitations at this point. I think it's a big deal. It's nice. I want, if they got the young secondary, and then I think they need a leader out there who really knows what's up. And you feel, what you've told me, that he would flourish in a Brian Flores defense. Mark, what are your thoughts on that?
I love Harrison. You know, a lot of us have had, you know, conversations with Harrison, and you don't give details of what you talk about, but it's safe to say that he was not happy in that defense. I don't think he did not complain about it public at all. But I feel that he knows that he can do more than what he was given last year in that defense. And he can create some situations where, like what he did with Zimmer in overload situations where you're standing next to Danielle Hunter and, you know, it just throws offenses out. And you see the quarterback being either hurried or roughed up or, you know, affected. And you just didn't see the quarterback affected enough last year, especially at home. I mean, to have the benefit of a stadium like US Bank Stadium that can work in tandem with a defense, and to see it just pissed away with a defense that didn't put enough pressure on it, was weird to see after seeing just not only Zimmer era, but so much of the Vikings era, Metrodome, just the pass rushers that have gone back to the roots of this team. Mm-hmm. And you just didn't see it. And last year, it was really kind of strange to watch. And I think Harrison Smith will definitely bring a versatile element that we used to see was with Harrison.
It's interesting that they didn't seem to, or maybe they couldn't budge him off the dime. They didn't negotiate with Eric Kendricks and let him go. They did with Adam Thielen. And couldn't come to an agreement, let him go. And now you have Harrison Smith, who they obviously did some maneuvering and kept him around. Do you think they would have, you know, in a perfect world of negotiations, would have liked to have kept all those three if they could have got them to renegotiate their numbers down?
Well, I think based on their actions, they were quick to, you know, pat Kendricks on the back and say, you know, great, one of the greatest that we've had, and now get out the door. I don't think there was much there. I mean, I feel like maybe it's because they like Asamoah. Good Lord, we know that they held Asamoah up last year in part because I think he was like their one shining thing that they could point to for their draft. You know, that wasn't the greatest, or it's got an incomplete grade at this point. Let's put it down. Mm-hmm. It'd still be a good draft. But I think that they felt they got someone behind him where obviously they got someone behind Harrison as well. But, you know, Harrison is a guy that they, like you said, there's not only does he fit this defense where maybe, you know, Kendricks doesn't fit that defense quite as well as what Harrison would fit. And you've got the leadership quality. You also got another, you know, the versatility of Harrison. So, and a different person probably. So, you know, maybe he's, you know, I could see negotiations with Harrison maybe being a little easier than maybe even with Thielen. You know, Thielen not only wanted the money, Thielen wanted, you know, kind of the role. And the thing with Thielen is it would have been nice to have that. You know, the dead money with me and Thielen is hard to take because it's like, wow, you still need a receiver.
Right.
And you got $13 million dedicated to this guy. But in the Vikings, you know, to their credit, they're looking at next year and the fact that they got Jefferson. They don't want to be kicking that can down the road too much farther on a guy who's 32, 33 years old.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Mark. And there was some pain that needed to take place with this team. I mean, the previous regime was trying to hang on to their jobs and were kicking a lot of cans, and suddenly we're having to pay the piper. And Kwesi and O'Connell don't have the emotional attachment to any of these players, so they are looking at them as more strictly business decisions. You know, I'm not saying the other guys didn't make business decisions, but Adam Thielen was a guy that Zimmer brought in, you know, saw him down in Mankato as a walk-on, and it'd be tough for him probably to let him go. I think he liked Adam quite a bit. And it's just a different take on it. The pain was inevitable, and we're starting to see some of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he came in 2013 when he was some Leslie, it would have been Leslie's last year, I believe. He's on the practice squad.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I'm my mistake.
But I'm just saying, even trying to make decisions on Adam when he signed his last contract and this year are different because, ultimately Mother Nature and age wins against all these guys. You know,
even beat
Tom Brady eventually. Although I think Tom probably could have staved it off for a few more years. But
He'll probably be back. I don't think we should worry about Tom.
Maybe he comes here. Let's start that right here.
He's trying to troll Aaron Rodgers and make sure that Aaron's got to keep playing so he can't retire in the same year. Like, you've made that.
I don't think Tom has to worry. Aaron would have to worry about being in the second car as you're being paraded around the streets of Canton, Ohio. I think Tom Brent gets that first car.
I'm gonna move one thing around here, and I'm gonna quickly, since we've been talking about Adam, he signed with the Panthers, so it's official, he's out of here. There's part of me being the hometown guy, being the Mankato guy, that I wanted him to maybe, all the dust settles and the Vikings still need another receiver, and Adam says, okay, I can't find what I want here. I could come in and take a cut to come back to the Vikings, but it's not going to happen now. So my Mankato heart is officially broken. But, he didn't get a whole lot of money, I think, from the Panthers. He signed kind of a middling contract. And he may just – maybe it's a situation where he's going to get the role that he wants. I mean, doesn't he take over as – probably right now he's the number one receiver until they draft somebody else because they – They trade more of their receiver to the Bears, I believe.
So I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I thought he got pretty good money for his age. It wasn't tier one stuff. But
I thought they could have done it here, but maybe they couldn't have done those numbers here.
Who knows? I mean, he obviously was insulted by whatever they ultimately offered and, chose to go elsewhere. Now, he becomes their guy, but in saying that, the guy throwing to him is either going to be Andy Dalton, who's on about his 43rd team in the past 41 years, and whoever, it's going to be the Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud.
Rusty Rifle.
Yeah. And let's put it this way: by the time that Bryce Young gets up to where he's going to be, an elite quarterback, Adam's going to be going into the Ring of Honor back here. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
Go ahead.
It's going to be interesting to see what his production is, just because he does not have. I mean, as much as we kind of, Kirk's that one day Kirk's bad, one day he's good, blah blah blah, back and forth. Now you're Andy, Kirk. I will say this: Kirk's better than Andy Dalton, and Kirk is going to be better than whatever the number one overall pick's going to be this year.
Right. Well, Adam says they have a chance at a Super Bowl. That's why he wanted to go to a Super Bowl contender, and he's going to get that with Andy the Rusty Red Rifle Dalton. So
what happens now? Okay. Now it's good. Someone in Carolina should ask this question. Adam, what do you think of the fans, the Panther fans in Carolina? Does he say, as they always say, we have the greatest fans in the NFL? Can Adam say that and come home? Will you let him do that? Will you let him utter that, totally hollow thing that everyone says, and then come
I
back.
Will, Mark. Yes, Mark, I will, because I know that everything that's said in front of a microphone is PR and yes, and you know, I've been in the locker room long enough to know that.
Yeah, I think you know, whenever you have, especially in podium settings, whenever you know the answer to every question that's going through your head, you can already hear the answer that's going to be said in front of the podium. So, yeah, that's it happens quite a bit.
If you're Brett Favre and you get asked one question, you ask yourself questions throughout the entire 30-minute press conference and answer them, and then just keep rolling.
There is one Adam Thielen story that Adam and I called him on it in a press conference. It was in a scrum. And it was right after Stephon Diggs had walked out on the team, didn't show up at practice. And the next access we had to Adam was the next day. And Adam, you know, and Adam was in, you know, and I love Adam, but Adam was in full cliche, you know,
damage control.
No, just, you know, you just say it. I think sometimes they don't even know what they're saying. It's just that automatron saying it. He said, well, you know, the media has been blown out of proportion by the media. And I said, and I just went, hey, Adam, you know, all due respect, I said, your starting receiver walked out on the team. How is the media blowing that out of proportion? And they kind of like, I don't know what he backpedaled back. And then we talked about it afterwards. I said, I apologize for saying that, but it was just something in me said, I cannot let this pass. You know, why, how could you say that it's the media, you know? And that's, it's just such an, and again, I love Adam Thielen, but it's such a cop out. It's to say, you know, the media, it's that media.
You know, and you don't know that they're not told to say that either, you know?
Well, I don't know what he was told to say, what he wasn't told to say, but it's become such a knee jerk reaction that you see at all levels, Joe, even some presidential elections going on.
Oh, yeah. So, the media is a favorite whipping, you know, I mean, the.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well, on that note, we'll get out our hankies and sponges for the saying so long to Adam Thielen. At least I will. And I'm sure he will enjoy himself down in Myrtle Beach playing all those golf courses down there. They got a bunch of them down there. So good on you, Adam. Hope your career continues to go well. And we will be back with segment 3 on Vikings Territory Breakdown. Okay, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, the Vikings, that we touched on it just momentarily early on, but the Vikings signed Alexander Mattison to a $7 million contract. And it's great to have him back, but it seems to me that could be a domino. I mean, that affects that running back position going forward. I mean, you got Dalvin Cook out there, who's just coming off shoulder surgery. There's been plenty of rumors about that Vikings are entertaining trades for him. Nothing's materialized yet. But what do you think about the Mattison signing, and what do you think it means for the running backs and the Vikings in general?
Well, I think it means that Mattison is, you know, I don't see Mattison coming back unless he knows something that he's going to be. Yeah, I don't see Mattison signing, coming back here and signing just to be, you know, the guy that gets 90 carries a year or whatever.
Right, right.
I have a sense that, you know, he knows that he's probably going to be the guy. You know, the fact that Dalvin had his surgery, if there's, you know, any trade partners maybe at this point are looking at, you know, they want to see him, they want to see him pass a physical, they want to see him make sure that, if you're going to trade for that type of contract, you know, $14 million against the cap, and Mattison, I believe, is like $2-3 million against the cap, something like that. You know, Cook is a guy that, you know, you want on your team, but if the NFL didn't have a cap and everybody was allowed to just make whatever, you know, then yeah. But with that money, yeah, you try and move him. You try and move him, and you hope that people that are making that trade would say, hey, look what McCaffrey did for the 49ers, and hope that a team that needs a running back like that, you know, maybe just off the top of my head, a Cincinnati, a Buffalo, maybe go. What if he goes to Buffalo and he and his brother are there, you know, I don't know. I don't know who fits that, you know, where they can take on that money. But yeah, I think if you trade him, then I think you're still in good shape. I mean, I think you can win with a Madison. And the fact that, you know, they got a blocking tight end on the first day of, they got the best blocking tight end in the NFL on Josh Oliver on the first day of free agency. And Madison is really more of a, he's a guy that I would rather have in short yardage situation than Dalvin.
Yeah.
Dalvin's explosive. I would wish they would have done more screens to Dalvin, but you know, those hard yards, I put my money on Madison, you know, as opposed to Dalvin.
And didn't the Bills just got Dalvin Singletary signed away from them. So they lost a running back. So maybe the right. brothers could get together. You know, just speaking about, you know, just reiterating what Sean Borman from VikingsTerritory.com said, if they cut Dalvin by June 1st, they save $9 million. If they cut him later, they save $5.89 million. So I'm sure – I would think they're entertaining as many trade offers as they can get just to get some capital for the draft. But when you look at those numbers, there could be something happening with him by June 1st to save that $9 million, and then you can keep someone like Za'Darius Smith or something else. I you know – That has been – that Dalvin Cook situation has been sitting out there the entire offseason, like, you know, the potential to – something's got to happen there. And this points to it. The numbers they have in the running back room point to it. I think something's going to happen with him, and it's too bad because he sounds like he's a great locker room guy and a leader for those guys, and certainly has been fun to watch in his time here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's explosive. He's a better, you know, when it, but also you got to look at his at the age too. It's like you have analytics guys running the show now, and they know all the, you know, when running backs typically hit the wall, and it's the contract is just it's too big right now, and
right,
you know, I, my feeling is that something hasn't happened, or because of him coming off injury and it's surgery and, you know, but we'll see.
It's interesting. They finally did it. That shoulder's been bothering him for the last how many seasons. He would get hit and he'd be out maybe half a game or a game. If he'd come back and play with it, and good on him for doing so. But sounds like he's finally getting it fixed, and, you know, maybe he's going to be more durable. Who knows? Who knows? You can't.
Hey, maybe he goes to Kansas City, something like that. I mean, that you know. If a team like that, I don't know if they could afford a, you know, contract like that, but if you, I mean, I would think, you know, when McCaffrey went to San Francisco, obviously the feeling for me was like, ah, you know, he's just going to get hurt like he does and like all the 49ers does. But if you can avoid that injury, I mean, when they added him, I mean, it was,
yeah,
it put them, you know, through the roof offensively, I thought.
Once again, no emotional attachment to Dalvin from KOC and Kwesi. So, thanks, Dalvin. We'll see you. I think that's what's going to happen down the road, but who knows? Someone they are keeping is they locked up their specialists, Andrew Paola. Paolo? How do you say his last name anyway?
DiPaolo. D. He's got a D-E.
D. Capers.
You missed it. He's a. Hey, there's two first team All Pros on the roster, and you just butchered one of them. He's the best long snapper in the league, Joe.
Come well, on. Heck, throw me in the poo poo pile for that one. And they signed him, the long snapper, and we're gonna call him AP and ADP, I guess. And they got Greg Joseph for a year, the kicker, which I think is a good. Good way to go. They need a kicker. He did enough good things last year. He wasn't great in certain situations, but he had some game winners and kicked a 61 yarder to beat the Giants, which is god dang memorable for this team, which has struggled with their kicker. So, and they signed Austin Schlottman. They re-signed him and Ole Udo. So they did some stuff on the offensive line. Any or all of them, Mark, tell me what you got on those signings.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are ones that, you know, aren't going to bust your cap, and ones that, I mean, Joseph is a fascinating, you know, guy to look at because he misses all those PATs, but he misses like a lot, most of his 50 yarders, but he kicks a 61 yard, a record, franchise record, 61 yarder to beat someone, had all those other game winners. So yeah, certainly, to get him, another year, just one less thing to have to go look for, because I think that he's a guy who was good enough. You keep the long snapper, obviously he's the best one in the league.
They say you really want to keep your snapper, your holder, punter, and your kicker together as much as possible because they work together. Maybe that was Joseph that was saying that, but it sounds like that's what the mentality of the Vikings use. Keep that unit together. They perform pretty well, the three of them, and they could be good if they can build on what they've done so far. And Joseph gets a little bit better on his extra points, but it seems like that was the mentality there. Keep that unit together.
Yeah, and you try and do that, but there's obviously times where they break them apart, and they still have their own primary things they have to do. But the punter, I thought the punter had an exceptional year.
Yeah.
Hats off, Kwesi, you nailed it. So on that one, so.
Austin Schlattman and Uli Udo. Come on, Mark, give me your deep dive on those two guys.
Well, when guys get hurt, you better have someone that's got some experience. Udo, he was a punchline 2 years ago when he was starting at guard. He's still probably not among the better linemen in the league, but you got to have backups. When guys go down, I think the guard experiment was over for him, and he's your swing tackle. So that's an important position because
they still got backup center, don't they? What was his name from? I can't think of his name. He came in while Garrett Bradbury was out.
Well, Schlattman started quite a few. And it's like the days of where five linemen roll out and they play 15 years together and none of them miss anything. Blake Brandel is another tackle that they have, so that gets quite a bit of playing time. Darrisaw is as good as he is. He's hasn't been a guy who plays every game, which is kind of maybe a new era for left tackles or tackles. It used to be they come in, they start for 15 years, and they go to the great ones. But now you're going to see guys that are with concussions more and more, and just different player safety precautions. You need backup linemen.
Absolutely, you do, which brings us to our next question, something we wanted to talk about today. And question posed by you is, what do we think is the biggest priority heading into the second, third waves of free agency in the draft? And what's the biggest hole in the roster right now? And I still think O-line is a hole. I'm not going to say they're the biggest priority. There's some stuff to do on the D-line, of course. I think they're not quite settled there. And I want to see Zadarius, as an edge rusher, stay and play for this team. And, I think a desperate need for them is linebacker depth. And there's a quarterback that we talked about, and certainly a wide receiver, but that's not even, I'll give you my number one position of need after you've kind of talked. What do you see about the positions that they need? What should they focus on in the next round of free agency? If given that they're going to be able to get some more room on their cap.
Right. I mean, as I said earlier, it was like, when you're looking at free agency, you're trying, say you got the roster in front of you, you got it on the board, and you're just trying to put not just bodies, but players that you like. It may not be the guys who end up starting there, but you've got someone there to get you into the draft. And then you got to do it with affordability and all that other. But the three positions I wrote down were receiver, cornerback, and inside linebacker. Now I cross off and defensive line. So I cross off defensive line just because I don't think that there's anybody now at the later stages of free agency. I think those defensive tackles, those beasts up front, either come in the draft relatively high or they come in that first wave of free agency, the difference makers. Like Lowry, I think, and they made a signing at that position. So I took that off. Inside linebacker, I took off because they do have Asamoah. They do like Troy Dye. They brought Hicks back, so they did make a move with Hicks. Mm-hmm. So and then corner, they make the move with Murphy. They got him. That's still a crazy thin position. I do think that they'll end up, Duke Shelley must want more money than what the Vikings are willing to pay because he hasn't been re-signed. I would think he would be re-signed.
Right.
So I take that one off. And the one I go with is receiver because right now they're crazy thin at receiver. You've got the best in the business at Jefferson. Then you got KJ Osborne, who now becomes a strong number two. And after that, there's nothing. I mean, there's Jalen Naylor, and then there's literally nothing experience-wise. It's just a practice squad guy. So my feeling is that before
Rieger, at some point – what about Rieger?
Rieger is not very proven. I mean, he caught a ball from the punter. He had a couple games. He had a game where was it last year against the Packers, Simmers last year? Where he had, whenever they were resting starters, he had some nice plays.
Yeah.
But really, nobody beyond that. So that's the position I feel like before they get to the draft, there's going to be a 1 year prove it type of deal or a second, third tier type receiver that's brought in before you get to the draft, I think.
For me, it's cornerback. It's still the number one. And I can't add too much more to what you said about it. But it's like Zimmer said, you can never have enough of them. So they're depleted there, and they plugged a hole. They got more holes to plug. They if the cornerbacks that they took last year, Andrew Booth and Caleb Evans, can come back from injury and play like it's their second year, even though they didn't get full first years, great. Then it's a bad problem. Then you're a good problem to have. But I still see them taking a cornerback in the early part of the draft. There's a bunch of good ones in there, and that they might get them. And wide receiver is a close second. I agree with you.
I think somebody. I just because I was looking through a list of available receivers that could be had for relatively cheaply. And according to Pro Football Focus, the Mecole Hardman from Kansas City is a guy that could be, and I see that, others have kind of put those puzzles together because you're seeing a lot of rumors. Now, if you Google Vikings Mecole Hardman, you're like, oh yeah, they should take Mecole Hardman. So I might've been late to that party, but he is a guy that's crazy fast. I don't know that, he'd want to leave the Chiefs, but
that's what I don't get. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but to me, if you get him, that's a guy you can get for 1 year and they, roughly, $4 million. If they can do that, obviously he only played 8 games last year. So, and he had an ankle injury, but in order to get a guy for that kind of money who you think he's still young. He's still like 25, 26 years old. You got to give somewhere. You're not going to get everything. So that's a guy that I would think then now you got a third receiver that you can go into the draft and really focus on what's the best thing for us at when you're on the clock, what is the best option? Not just, I think we've got to take this guy. We've got to take that
guy. Yeah. That'll be fun to watch as it plays out to see where it goes. I was going to say that's pretty much does it for us this week, but there is some breaking news going on right now that I noticed while we're sitting here. It's snowing, Mark. It's snowing in Minnesota. It's unbelievably snowing. It's not happened. It's not happened like this in the history of Minnesota. The snow we have. Anyway, it's snowing.
This is like a next weather alert. Oh my God! Yes. Don't drive. Stay home.
Not quite good. Yeah, but it's coming down pretty good. Wish it was raining sap, but it's not. But
well, anyway. As I tell my friends in my southern vacation spot of Cleveland, Ohio, the biggest difference between here and there is March is a winter month.
Yeah,
it is. Every year it proves to be.
Absolutely. Heaviest snowfalls in this month for Minnesota. This is our snow month, so not a shock to see it. Anyway, that'll do it this week for Vikings Territory Breakdown. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and checking us out. Thanks, Mike Wolden, behind the scenes. thanks, Joe Johnson, for putting us here. And hope to see you guys back next week when we'll talk about the next stage of free agency and see where the Vikings are going. Come on back, and we'll see you then. Until then, skol.
Skol.